You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. If you have family and friends in the area, go to your telephone right now. Invite them to tune in. If our listeners on the internet have family and friends, I'm also asking you to send an email to them. Invite them to tune in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the left side of the page to the Listen Live link. Well, today I have a full group of our panel in with us. Dr. Larkin Connolly is here, and also I have Mark Andel and Rich Logis is with us, and we're going to have a lot to talk about today. Before we get started, I want to say we had some very special guests join us in the last few weeks, and by the way, I received a lot of good compliments about our conversations, and I want to thank Mark and Larkin and also Rich for joining in the conversations. I want to also say once again a thank you to Mayor Ed Pawlowski, the mayor of Allentown. He sent out our radio broadcast to all of his friends up there in that area. Also to Walt Jakubowski, a community college trade and industrial arts educator. And last week we were very enlightened by Bob Bierschak, who is a member of the staff and also a press officer for the Federal Election Commission, and they are developing a lot of the information of what goes on. He's been there for 30 years, and I want to thank him for all that he enlightened us with last week. Every one of our guests shares a lot of information and experience with our listeners, so I want to say thank you as we begin. Well, today it's open forum, and I'd like to discuss how important our efforts have been to help one another. And today, I want to say, first of all, a big, big shout out to Larkin, Mark, Rich for making all of what we do here on American Workers Radio very interesting. I get a lot of compliments, and thanks, Henry, as well. And Steven's here with us. Henry does our engineering. I get a lot of good compliments. Our signal is loud and clear, and people are beginning to talk. And that's what this effort is all about. We're talking, but we're also taking action. So often I see that we have opportunities in America, but we're not taking them. This morning I heard a report that China is losing ground as far as manufacturing goes. Some things in America are beginning to be restored. We're getting, of course, some of our jobs back, but we really have to work at getting more of them back. And that's where people like Mark Andel and all of his efforts have shown people that it can be done. Publicity takes a lot of work. And by the way, it's a lot of work to get people behind these efforts. Mark knows that. I know that. Larkin knows that. Rich knows that. And the people who are listening in, who are business owners, also know it takes a lot of work to stay on the map. So, Mark, I'm going to start off with you today. How was everything with your situation in the last 10 days?
Real good. How you doing, guys? Glad to be back on. Had a great Easter. I hope you guys did. The weather in Buffalo broke. We have almost hit 70 degrees. We've been busy, extremely busy, all legs of my business. Made in America store, we got the four stores working real well. Niagara Falls opened 2 weeks ago, and really a great Easter startup up in Niagara Falls. A lot of foreigners come, but they really respect the Made in America label and quality. And being our second year there as the only 100% souvenir store, it's really neat to see these the foreigners. It's 50-50, domestic and foreign, people visiting Niagara Falls and respecting taking home a piece of a quality product made in America. And General Welding is doing real well, busy-wide But, Mike, the biggest problem is finding these skilled workers. I found out yesterday the United States needs 157,000 welders to fulfill the jobs that are present today, and we are having a nightmare trying to find people to work that are qualified, and we've got work right now. So that's aggravating and frustrating, but we're staying positive, just trying to what it ends up doing, you try to train, and training takes time. It's just we always talk about it, but, boy, do we got to answer this problem of a skilled worker shortage soon. It will be the number one issue in the country growing the economy again.
You know, Mark, I've been hearing more and more of our school districts are starting to say they have to put industrial arts and the trades back on the table. That the school districts have thought for 20 years that just having, you know, computer skills and everything else was going to do the trick. And now they see that this is not the way it is going to be in the future.
Yeah, and I talked to a professor from our local college yesterday that was retired. She came on we had a bus stop at the store, real neat, from a little north of Pittsburgh. Never been at the store, and it's neat how new the store is to people that never seen it, and they love Made in America products and our mission and the movement and everything about it. But I had a chance to talk to the lady, and she spent 34 years in education. And a lot of, you know, what she said, the new kids, number one, when our parents went to, you know, college, if they made it, it was a lot less expensive then. So they got out of college and said, boy, your children got to go to college, but they didn't know the price they would have to carry with that, you know, $80,000 to $100,000 to $200,000 loans. And then she had 32, including her daughter, 32 people with master degrees that were working at a call center it was a toy company or something to bring the call people, but all these people had masters, highly educated, but no jobs for them. So she said, you know, the new kid needs to be entertained all the time, so it's different, you know, the way parents and guidance counselors and, you know, they treated the skilled trades where that was bad, so go into college, but it didn't work. So we always talk about if something didn't work, we got to fix it, but, you know, we need to fix it now and to really start growing this training in bringing back the industrial arts and bringing back the wood shops and metal shops, the schools, so we can expose these children to these things. But unfortunately, I need it now. You know, I don't need it in 2 years.
You know, Mark, as funny as it sounds, I remember having a conversation years ago with a very good friend of mine's wife, and she was a teacher. Excuse me. And she claimed that this demise or this complication in education started back when she first became a teacher. She was an elementary school teacher. I think she taught second or third grade. And she said the children would grow up at home. They became somewhat latchkey kids. They were set in front of a television set, and they watched, you know, King Kongo of the Jungle, Sesame Street, you know, all of those requisite programs with puppets that do a wonderful job of teaching and exposing children to a level of intelligence that they don't normally see till second or third grade. But she said, all of a sudden, these students show up in my classroom, and they're expecting Big Bird up in the front of the room to do something really dynamic and exciting, and it's just this old lady who's standing there telling them 2 times 2 is 4.
It's funny. That's exactly what she's talking about.
And she said, we've never really recovered.
Yeah, because this lady explained the new kid student wants to be entertained constantly.
Exactly.
You know, and it's more of a, they want a show, or else you don't hold their patience or their time. And that's what it was interesting to talk to her and realize what we're up against.
And my friend Beth got out of it. I mean, she flat got out of teaching. She said to me, the students couldn't understand what I was saying when I wore that yellow beak.
You know, Larkin, we were talking a few weeks ago that so many of the people in the state of Pennsylvania have seen the light. In fact, there was a report on PCN, that's the Pennsylvania Cable Network, that was talking about expanding our engineering and everything else in the schools. And I'm going to try to contact this president of the Pennsylvania schools, because he was saying that they are getting more people interested, and they're suffering just as you are, Mark. People are needed today. If a company wants to open an extension of what they're doing in America, they don't want to hear that they have to wait 2 years for trained people to get on the job. or they can't train you because they're just opening a new division or a new line in America. So there's no place to train you. You're already, they need people right now.
And Mike, let me tell you, in the month of March, I brought seven welders on. Out of the seven, one is a star, just a personality, work ethic. You know, you got one winner. The second, there's two that would are keepers, or A-plus welders. The other two, one went to a school, 32,000, and I'm not sure what he did there, but it wasn't, you know, he didn't learn much. And it taught me that, okay, once the school gets the money, a lot of schools aren't good teachers. You know, the teacher who kind of sat at the desk, he said, and he never really taught. So it was a shame that he couldn't weld that good when we got him, but we're working with him. The other one is okay, also went to a school but wasn't a very good school, so we ended up training him. And the other three are very green. But it's funny, you end up, what we're ending up with is we're going to have to self-train most of our people because a couple went to school. So, you know, let alone the school was good, but it's got to be a good school where the teacher's involved and really with these students, because I'm learning a ton from what we're going through in the last month.
Mark, believe me, and this gentleman, Mr. Schneider, I'm going to try to get in touch with him because he would make a great guest on the show to talk about where they are in retraining all the boys and girls in these trades and how the state and their educational system has been fighting against them. They were even talking about using the word college. In other words, if you're not going to college, then your degree is not, you know, respected as much as a person coming out of a trade school. So he's trying to change that around. And yet the state is fighting him on that. Yet the tuition, the kids are coming out of college, four-year college, and then going to his industrial arts school.
Yeah, and it was funny, this lady I was talking to was a professor 34 years at a community college. She said, now, there could be 100 teachers qualified for a job, but you got to bring in what, race, politics? She said, it's amazing what teacher actually gets the job. So, you know, there's a lot to this.
Well, you know, something happened yesterday in the United States of America, and that was with the change of the law regarding affirmative action. You know, that should have been ended some years ago, as far as I'm concerned, because Martin Luther King said something years ago that he wanted to be judged by what he has to offer, by his skills, not by the color of his skin. And we wasted 30 plus years trying to make sure affirmative action took over slots in the job areas and this and that, where people should have been coming in based upon their skills. And actually, that's what's going to happen now.
Actually, one of the biggest problems with affirmative action, as far as I could see it, I mean, I understand what they were trying to accomplish, and it did accomplish some things. But the real sense of the problem of affirmative action is it started on the wrong end of the problem. We really needed to address, as we do today, need to go all the way back and address families and address children between the ages of 3 and 5 before they get to school. I mean, that's where the problem is, and that's where we need to straighten out the problem. If you wait until they're in high school and say, from an affirmative action viewpoint, you can get into the University of Michigan now solely on the color of your skin and not the content of your GPA, then obviously we're addressing the problem wrong. We're just at the wrong end of the problem.
Right, and I think that we should, at this point in time in American history, is take off the line race off of all applications. When a person comes to you, you should know what they have to offer.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to come as the same prediction that I've been making for the last year and a half here. This is one of my newest predictions. Race is going to be of no consequence to this country in about 7 to 8 years. It truly isn't. I see things today that indicate to me that we are fastly approaching a blended race. And the faster we get there, the much better off we're going to be.
Absolutely. I can't agree more.
Yeah, you watch a Cheerios commercial. It's a blended couple with blended children in it. I mean, it's all over television. And I herald it. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. And we are going to be in much better condition when we eliminate all of the differences.
Right. We've spent too much of our time. We should have been spending that time making sure that we have jobs. One thing I must say to you, Mark, in my travels and talking with business people, they are telling me that American-made items are being requested like never before. Their only problem they have is there's not enough of them on the shelves. The bigger ticket items, the clothing, the shoes, and everything else. I heard this morning, Steve reported on the radio this morning, that we are having a crisis in China. Orders are down. People are doing with less. Americans are starting to manufacture more. More products are coming from different parts of the world. Well, it's time for competition to be restored. Our people want jobs. I want to see labels that say American-made as well as foreign-made. And with that, we'll be able to then recreate America's economy and move forward in a positive direction.
As we know, I mean, Made in America matters. Mike, you've done a great job, our show, our guests here. But it does matter. It is coming along, and people are demanding it. I see it every day more and more. We're going to that National Hardware show in Vegas the first week of May. I'm taking my new grill and whatnot, but they asked me to be a speaker this year because they're going to have a USA Day, which there's 17,000 buyers from around the world. But it's great, the movement's on, because not only do they have two designated areas, Made in America products for buyers to find, now they're going to have a USA Day the Wednesday of the show, which I'll try and call you for when we're down there. And they asked me to be a speaker and also show the movie clip. So that movement's on, I mean, because consumers, and that's where the people listening, have so much power. We got to get back to that. You know, the people have the power, and what they demand has to be, you know, answered. And it's working, and it makes a difference, and it's just beautiful to see.
And, Mark, I'm going to ask that you get your crew to film your presentation down there, because I'd like to have it placed on our site.
Will do.
Everything that you do and say, believe it or not, is very, very well taken by the people.
Hey, Mark, Mark, before I wake up Rich, I want to ask you.
No, I'm here. I'm listening intently, guys.
He's where Rich is writing to get me that bat phone. Because if you remember, I don't know, Mark, if you were able to listen what happened last week, we had a guest on who told us how the politicians spend quite a bit of their day running across from the Capitol to raise money for their campaigns and for their parties.
I didn't get a chance. I'll have to listen.
Oh, it was very good. I thank Rich for bringing Bob on, because he was very enlightening. I learned a lot.
So let's get back. Mark, give me 45 seconds on your grill. I haven't heard about this.
Oh, so I've got this, name it the All-American Grill. It weighs 20 pounds, a little less. It's compact. It's all stainless steel 304. There's no loose parts when you carry it. I'll send Mike the new slinger. So basically, you can use it tailgating at condos, apartments. It breaks down, so there's no loose parts. It's really compact. You carry it, you disassemble it, it assembles in minutes, and the top rotates, and it's just a mini fire pit grill, which is real unique, cute, cool. RVers love it because of the size, but the size is the big thing. It's only 15-inch diameter. But you could set your car on it, too. It's very well built and very good quality. Right now I have it just for charcoal and wood, but I have a spin-on burner. We're making 100% American, so we can connect the 1-pound tank to it and the 20-pound tank to it.
Right.
You'll love it. Very well made. I'll get a picture to Mike.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
You'll have to take it out, Larkin, to one of the games and do a little.
Yeah, you know, 95% of the people in America grill. So it's my paperclip, but I went last year to this show, and I had my big fire ring, and everybody wanted the model I was showing on the table. And when I was flying home, I said, geez, I should make a little one. And it's really neat. We got a video, too. I'll send you both, Mike, so you guys can share it.
Just make sure you get me that of your presentation. I'd like to see what you have to say. Gentlemen, can you hold on one moment? I would like to acknowledge a few of our great supporters, and I want to ask all of our listeners to make sure that you mention that you listen here 7 days a week to the Polish American Radio Network and also our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio. And when you're out shopping, I know many people did for the Easter holidays, they went to Polka Deli. They're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section. for all of your great foods and pierogies and kielbasa and everything else, make sure you go to Polka Deli. For more information, you can give them a call at 215-634-3750. And if you, now that spring is here and you'd like to have the car spruced up, or maybe you want to take a nick out of it or something that may have happened over the winter with the slippery roads, well, Serena's Auto Body Shop has two locations to serve you. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Give Serena's a call at 215-535-6606. And Karen Janod handles auto, home, and life insurance, and she invites you to give her a call for all of your needs. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And Mr. Joseph Drobot, who is the national president of the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, invites you to call upon them for life insurance, annuities, paternal benefits, educational scholarships, and so much more. You can visit them on the internet by going to PRCUA.org or give them a call at 1-800-772-8632. And for all of your legal needs, remember that Michael Steinman has two offices in Philadelphia. Give him a call at 215-564-1866. And planning to do some travel? Well, the Polish American Travel Service has their office at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. That's at Tilton and Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. For more information, give them a call at 215-634-3396. And if you want to smile and really look absolutely the best, call on Dr. Eva Maciak, who has two offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. For an appointment or more information, give her a call at 215-739-2787. And the Philadelphia Net Cost Market is located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia. They invite you to stop by and see the unbelievable selection of meats, groceries, dairy, vegetables, you name it, they have it all there at the Philadelphia Net Cost Market. And when you stop by, make sure you pick up your Net Cost Club Saver card. Well, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I want to say thank you for spreading the word, talking about our sponsors, visiting our sponsors, sending out an email to let people know that they can listen to our broadcast anytime by going to our internet sites. All of this is having a very, very positive effect. One thing that I have to say, guys, is we, through our grassroots efforts, have been uniting tens of thousands, tens of millions of people to do good things for America's economy. Where are our national leaders? Rich?
Well, Michael, Bob Bierstack from last week told us at least part of the time where they are.
And I was really interested to hear that. I cannot believe. Yeah. My question, when I heard him say that, I want to know if they are over spending a few hours a day on these phones dialing donors and all, are they on our payroll or are they, you know, clocking out during that time? I'd like to know,
Michael,
that.
I spoke with Bob after the show. One thing, Michael, I just have to correct quickly. Bob is formerly of the Federal Election Commission. He's now with an organization called the Center for Responsive Politics. They run a website called OpenSecrets.org, which is a wealth of campaign finance information, contributions, sources of contributions, etc. And when I spoke with him afterwards, guys, he was very, very appreciative of the invite. He most certainly is interested in coming back on. And I told Bob, I learned a number of things. I think our listeners learned many things. While I am still not persuaded against my opinion that of all of the numerous options, publicly financed elections are still the best option, there were a lot of thought-provoking things that he said.
And yes, he did.
And regarding guests, guys, I do want to mention something both for our local listeners as well as for our online listeners. Next week, for the second half of our show, Congressman John Runyon has agreed to be on the show. And for our listeners who don't know who he is or some of the recent things that he's talked about, he's a two-term House member. He's chosen not to run for re-election. And he's going to talk about why he's opting not to run. He's going to give us an overall perspective, which I'm sure will be quite candid. And quite excited to have him on. You know, I told his press agent, we talk a lot about Congress, and the floor is yours. We want to hear the insights, why you're not running. So he's going to be on next week, guys.
Very good.
Very, very excited about this. And I think we're going to get a bird's eye view that perhaps we've not maybe had before.
And I noticed, Rich, that a number of congressmen and a few senators are stepping down this time around. And that opens the door for some new people. And I hope new people will come forward and let's see what they got to offer.
Well, until that percentage of step down reaches somewhere in the 90s, it's not good enough for me. You know, when it comes to job creation and fixing our problems, Washington is currently part of the problem. As a matter of fact, Washington's most of the problem. It's not the solution, and it's too bad that they can't figure that out, and that they, in their hearts and souls, they don't have a little bit more statesmanship than they have politician in their blood. They reviewed the people running for governor on the Democratic side of the ticket this morning, and nobody running for governor in the state of Pennsylvania last year made less than $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Swartz, who I know is married to a doctor, that's fine, made a little over half a mil. The front runner right now, Tom Knox, I guess his name is. No, not Tom Knox. Whatever. No. Whatever his name
Tom
is.
Tom Wolf.
Wolf, I'm sorry. Mr. Wolf, I apologize. Over a million, well over $1 million. So, you know what? We need to get a couple guys from Kensington and go up there and take charge and, you know, start letting our voices be heard.
Yeah, you're right, Larkin. It's really unbelievable. And, you know, a few of the people that have contacted me, I said to them, they said, well, how about promoting this one and that one? And I said, well, how about they come on our radio broadcast the last 3 weeks of the primary? Let's hear from them. And I'm going to ask one of my helpers to find out if he can. In fact, I was looking at it yesterday. I may send them a notice and ask them if they want to call in or maybe even come in.
And I guarantee you, you'll get one. You'll get one, but after everybody hears what we say to the one, I bet you none of the rest of them.
What I want to know is, what are we going to do about jobs? You know, Rich, I sent Rich an article the other day that was in the LA Times. It was pretty scary. And Mark, you'll understand this well, because your people are trying to do a good job. And even with all the good work that they do and the pay that you give them, life is becoming unaffordable. And that's horrible. Rich, you read that article about more young people moving in with parents than ever before.
Well, what's the overarching, you know, think about the overarching issue at hand with this. And, you know, Larkin, you're talking about candidates running. And, you know, if they've had success in, let's say, success in the private sector, which isn't unprecedented. We've had people successful in the private sector. We've had Bloomberg in New York. Ross Perot was a very influential presidential candidate. I don't think success in the private sector necessarily means someone will or will not be an excellent public servant. But what that success oftentimes translates into when it comes to elections is they're able, just like they did with Mayor Ed, they can essentially shut everybody else out.
Right.
Because when you hear the politicians say, this guy or gal's not qualified, my answer is that is up to the voters to decide who is capable and who is not. We can say as candidates all day long, this guy, this girl, this woman's not capable, not skilled. I had success in the private sector. Okay, you've got a resume. You're bringing it. But they can keep everyone else out. So all we're going to hear about probably, and I'm going to follow the Pennsylvania governorship election, and I'm going to see how different it is from your average high-profile election. What's said, what's done, and I suspect, guys, it's probably not going to be too different.
It's
probably going to be the usual par for the course.
It's going to be entertaining. The most entertaining part of the whole thing is going to be the primary, which is next month. Allison Swartz, the guy that
McCord,
Wolf, and
there was another
Swartz, Allison Swartz.
Yes,
they're fighting it out, and they're fighting it out by attacking each other right now.
But you know what, Larkin? One of the gentlemen called to ask me to support his candidate the other day. It was last Wednesday, and I said, well, I have to support the candidate that speaks about jobs. They said, well, that's an issue that'll be addressed as time moves forward. I thought to myself, jobs are our future. There's no such thing. As soon as I heard that, I said to him, well, maybe he could come on the program. And he said, well, he's already got such a full schedule. I thought to myself, man, this is already somebody that's turned me off.
But, Larkin, you're talking about the primaries, and this is where, see, the two major parties will say, well, Rich, that's a bunch of BS what you say. We have competition. Look, we've got 5, 8, 10, 15 candidates in the party. We're going to find the best one. That's just a load of fill in the blank. It isn't. It's not. It's the ten hamburgers at McDonald's are all the same burger. It's all the same thing. Just this one's got this one's got that. What you're going to see, like you're saying, Larkin, is we're gonna see a lot. It's gonna be an entertainment fair. Politics just seemingly have become more and more about that, about entertainment, and less about ideas and innovation. And this is why term limits. And I think Congressman Runyon's gonna talk about this. This is why term limits. I think we have a consensus on this panel. They need to be implemented. Yeah, but Rich, that means that we're not going to have, you know, what about if we have someone who's good? We want to keep him or her in. Okay, well, can you think of one person now you want to keep in? Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know, what if?
Wait a second, Rich. Let me go through all 400 names. I'm at 398 now. Seriously.
We need that.
I got a relative that's in Congress, and I wouldn't read
those. Primaries are not competition. They're not. They're it's a facade of competition. It's not. You want competition, open the ballots. Let Mayor Ed do what he's got to do to qualify for the ballot, right, assuming it's not already rigged, which a lot of times ballot access already is. Let him get it, and then the voters will have their say.
Rich.
And you know what would happen? If Mayor Ed were to, like major alternative party candidates, so I'm not going to vote for this guy or this woman because he can't win, so therefore I won't vote for him. Can we get it where we get a chance where people can get in, be on the equal playing field? That was, by the way, I think, the affirmative action issue, Michael, you talked about, and this is – There's good argument on both sides of this. I think the original intent was to try to better level the playing field. And there are good arguments on both sides of this issue. And politics, we're talking about competition like we always do. Mark, you said it, you know, people have the power and we're the ones that can influence things. Well, this is why we've forgotten this. I think really we've forgotten this as an electorate. And we have to understand how good we actually really have it here politically. We are not Egypt or Ukraine. Those are countries
that are
poor, they're impoverished, they live under oppressive economic and political regimes, in part sometimes due to their neighbors, and they don't have the outlet to civilly change. We do, but if we don't do anything with it, what are we doing?
You know, I was coming down Spring Garden Street here this morning, and I drove by IBEW, and I always stop and pull over and park and get out and genuflect and then get back in the car and drive away. And I was in the process of doing that, and I looked at the IBEW building and thought, is that the – I wasn't sure that
international
was the building. It was covered with Allison Swartz banners. I'm telling you, as big as the building. So now the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, who is out there, you know, assuring that – our electrical workers get great wages and are treated fairly and do all of the requisite things that they do. Now, all of a sudden, they want Allison Swartz as our governor.
Well, here's the thing I want to just throw in right here, and we have another guest who wants to say something. Steven Smolchinski's here with us also. You know, before any union or whatever endorses anyone, they should listen to all the candidates first to see what they have to offer, what they're going to do, because giving an endorsement first before the primary begins is definitely not the way somebody who's just a regular part of the electorate is going to want to go out and do it, because they say, well, our union, our group has already endorsed so-and-so, so my job is done. I don't even have to listen what the other candidates have to offer. I really think the endorsement should come the last week of the election or the primary. That's when everybody has struggled to get those votes from the big leadership in the city, people or whatever, and then they have a fighting chance. Other than that, the big people gobble up the little people, and that's what happened with Mayor Ed and the others.
But, Michael, what's the problem? The problem comes down to the fact that the Democratic Party right now is fighting each other for a primary person for the governorship. So you have a party that's going to fight each other to fight the next party. And then when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you know, Rich, you talked about the level playing field and everything else. Here's the level playing field. The bottom line is you get what you pay for. So Larkin, IBEW, they have Allison Schwartz posters everywhere. They got paid for that. Now, here's the thing, though. Cap it off. See what happens when you cap off their marketing and their advertising and everything else that they're wasting money on left and right. Set a cap at like $250,000. See who the best candidate that comes out of that is going to end up being, because at the end of the day, then you're going to find out who really it is, because all the people and the citizens and everything else are seeing are the 3 million ads and the, like the Allison Schwartz ad where she had said about the, the Big Boys Club, and I can break through that and everything else. Well, the next commercial I saw was the Tom Wolf commercial where he had his daughters on there, and, you know, women are getting paid 77 cents to every dollar the man makes. So that's what the people are going to get out of this. And at the end of the day, see what happens. You cap that off. You want a level playing field. That's when it's going to get really interesting. And that's when it's going to say, well, wait a minute. Okay, who has the real politics and who has the real BS pretty much?
Well, Rich, answer that.
Well, Steve, the ultimate way to achieve that, okay, in the utopian perfect world, and I admit sometimes maybe I do suffer from utopia, and Sir Thomas More wrote Utopia was beheaded. I hope I fare better. But the ultimate way to achieve that is you need to remove all money out of politics except for public financing.
And that's what I'm saying.
The ultimate way. See, now, Bob was on last week saying, well, I'm not so sure about that. But if we're going to have money come in, we need it transparent, 100% transparent. We need to know where it comes from. So we've got two different ideas here. The question is there a quote-unquote better way? But I will tell you this, the most effective, though not perfect, but the most effective way to achieve what you're saying is to eliminate all money out of our elections. Because if we're going to agree that money can come in and it's fine, then we must then admit that our government is not a government, it's a business.
That's, you're right.
Have this thing both ways.
Money's the controlling factor at the end of the day.
Sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Money's the controlling factor at the end of the day, no matter business, no matter government. These people are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on marketing and advertising themselves, and they have other companies that are doing it. You're right. Take the money off the table. Did you ever see the movie Man of the Year with Robin Williams, I think it was called, where he was like a Jay Leno type host, and next thing you know, somebody said, hey, why don't you run for mayor, governor, whatever, or president, I think it was. And he did it as a joke, and there was, like, you know, no attacking, no nothing, no this, no that. In theory, it was a great idea, because then, you know, as I said, if you take money off of the table, you will have half the commercials. I don't even watch TV during political season because it's all commercials. It's all attacks. You have Democrats attacking Democrats. You have Republicans attacking Republicans. And then you have the Democrats attacking the Republicans. So you don't know which way's up at that point. So take the money off the table, like you said, Rich, and let's see who the better candidate's going to fare. Because I doubt it's going to be that hard. Because you know who has the better resume and who doesn't.
If you want to say that money, yes, Rich, I agree. It is protected. People should be able to put in as much as they want, PACs, fine. But then you can't call it a government. You have to simply call it a business. And I say bribery, Bob said extortion. Either way you look at it, both are 25 to life upon conviction.
Yeah, really.
You know, I want to say this to you. I said that a few minutes ago. Whenever someone calls me from a political campaign and says, can we get your endorsement right away, I say, I wait till the very last minute to even give a hint of who I'm leaning toward, because I want to see what everybody has to say. Believe it or not, we're less than a month away from the election, and not one candidate has been out there promoting jobs. Not one candidate has been promoting jobs. The Republican, nothing. All the Democrats, nothing. Why is that? Let me take a minute to acknowledge some of our sponsors. I want to say a special thank you to Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, and his office is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. He's there to serve you Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening. And also every Tuesday evening, he has additional information available to you by going to his office. You can go in there for an appointment. He'll explain your needs and what you would be best suited for in your case. For more information, give him a call at 215-739-8521. And also the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance organization, invites you to contact them for all of your life insurance needs, your IRAs, and so much more. Give them a call at 215-1-800-621-3723. They are located in all 50 states. And Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and his staff there at Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, welcome you to come to their office where they provide quality services and, of course, very affordable services as well. For more information or an appointment, give them a call at 215-671-0188. And Martin Bednarek, president of Washington Savings, Kazimierz Wielki Bank, and they have 5 locations in the Philadelphia area. Give them a call at 215-698-9400. Always let our sponsors know that you hear about them on our network. And also, Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, asks that you check them out wherever you shop. You'll find the beautiful products they offer and the great Giorgio name on the shelf. And don't forget Net Cost Markets, located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And also, Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. Give her a call at 215-423-4824.
And if you're looking for any type of advertising, internet, radio, or newspaper, you can contact the Tri-State Media Network at 215-829-9200. Call in today for one of their account executives, and to find out what their advertising packages are, you can visit them online at www.tristatemedianetwork.com, and you can also visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/Tri-State Media Network. And stop on into Pat's Auto Tags for any of your licensing, notary, ID cards, specialty plates, boating and fishing licenses, and much, much more. In business for over 33 years, Pat's will serve you and the Philadelphia area to the best of their ability. They have 3 convenient locations to serve you. They are located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue at the corner of Belgrade and Allegheny in the beautiful Port Richmond section of the Philadelphia area. They also have a direct link to the DMV and same-day service. You can contact them at 215-427-1832. They also have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue at the corner of Harbison Avenue and Sanger Street, and 400 East Allegheny Avenue at the corner of Allegheny Avenue and C Street, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. You can contact Cliff and that location at 215-423-5266. They are open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information, stop in or give them a call and let them know that American Workers Radio sent you. And Michael Halil and his staff at the Liberty Bell Diner welcome you to come in for any of your breakfast, lunch, or dinner needs. They are located at 8445 Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. They are very avid supporters of the American Workers Radio program as well as the National Small Business Weekend. They have delivery available all day. Give them a call at 215-331-4344 or stop in for your next meal. And now that summer's upon us, you can stop up to their walk-up window for your favorite water ice or ice cream treats. And Phil's Hairstyling, located at the corner of Richmond and Orthodox Streets in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia, is among one of the best in the area. Open 6 days a week, their experienced, friendly staff are there to serve you for any type of hairstyle or facial or waxing that you need. Call them today at 215-535-8997. And also, now that the weather is beautiful and walking around is a lot nicer, stop on down to the Polish American Cultural Center, located at 308 Walnut Street in Philadelphia. They are open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is free, and from May through December, they will be open Monday to Saturday, closed on holidays. Again, admission is free. You can contact the museum at 215-922-1700.
Very good. Thank you so much, Steve. And I want to mention also that I said earlier today that there was a big alert on our television stations that China's products have been slowing down as far as coming to the USA. And, you know, I thought about you when I heard that report this morning, Mark, and I said to myself, well, this is really a time for America's sales forces to get off their butts and really do their job to get more American-made products in circulation in all of our stores. Are you getting more and more people coming to you, Mark, highlighting their products that are 100% made in America?
Yeah. You know, remember 4 years ago, we just passed 4 years last Friday, but we only had about 50 products. Now we have 6,500 products, but we've got a waiting list and we vote them in. So absolutely more products available. Of course, light on electronics or anything that takes a battery still. But, you know, one thing nice with Made in America, too, nobody really disagrees with Made in America. Nobody wants to challenge it, Republican, Democratic, whatever side, union, non-union. You know, that's the beauty of Made in America. Most people accept that we need it, and we all know we got to grow that middle class again, and, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller. But it's really nice to see more and more products being made and, you know, accessible for us. We stick with the quality, of course, but generally a Made in America product is higher quality, but we've got to always check that. It's just lately way more products to choose from, and more, you might have found one can opener before where there might be two or three now, which is neat to see. So it is coming back, Mike, very slow process, but we're going in the right direction. I had a guy yesterday at my store. We had the bus from Pittsburgh, and then we had a guy, and he was a Vietnam veteran. I was talking to him, and he, you know, after talking to him, I said, how far did you drive to come to the store? He said, 140 miles. I said, really? I said, how many times have you been here this year? Three. I said, you come up that far? He goes, well, you're the only store that can answer what I need, you know, and I love what you're doing. So it was great to see, but there's people, you know, we've got our customers, of course, that are loyal, but the new people coming in that are just looking for it. And lately, people are talking about food, and, you know, that's a whole other area, but they're learning and getting educated the facts about our food and, you know, how it's hard to find vegetables that are made in our country in a bag at the store. So that's a whole different area, Mike, to get into sometime.
Yes, it is. In fact, I'm pleading with everybody, as I always do, to make sure you take a few extra minutes wherever you go shopping to look at the labels, to give yourself an education. And by the way, you do find some American-made items slipped in here and there. But I'm getting more and more reports from some places down in the South that there are more American-made products down there than they are up in the northern states, which I don't understand. They say that, Michael, your clothing needs and all, there's a lot of stuff down south. You should get those manufacturers to start pushing up north. And I say, well, this is another job opportunity for salespeople to bring those products up here, expand the sewing or whatever they're doing down there to manufacture the clothes, expand that, bring more of their clothes and sell them here in the Philadelphia and tri-state area.
It's funny, Mike, you mentioned clothing, and I want to get Bob Chesbro from Wigwam out of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He's a third-generation owner of Wigwam Socks. And I'll get him on the show. I'll call him this week and after Rick's guest, maybe the following week. I think, Bob, we just made him an award. He asked for a 100% award to be made for his local Rotary Club. But Bob's a great guy, and he can tell you a lot about the clothing. There's only two vertical mills left for the clothing that do the whole thread and dye and whatnot. But we're tying with our new wholesale site that we're launching in, you know, the first week of Vegas. That'll be wholesale, madeinamericastore.com. But clothing is going to be our number one driver because a lot of people love what we're doing, love what we're about, the show, us, but they can't find clothing to put their name on, but even from unions to local businesses I have. So what we're going to open up, we'll show, you know, we'll supply you the blank shirt, or we'll put the graphics on the shirt that you want, and that's really a growing item for us. But people want clothing. I just landed a deal where I'm going to have a 100% Made in America suit for Vegas when I'm doing the speech. So I tied with a Men's Warehouse to pull that off for me, and they just told me it was in yesterday, so I got to go see it. So
now, where did they get that suit from, Mark?
Yeah, it was on the East Coast. I'll have to get you the name. They worked. I've been after them for about 2 months. I always joked with them because I don't wear a suit all the time, right? But I said, if I find me a 100% suit, I'll wear it more. But I wanted bragging rights when I'm at the show in front of all the buyers that it can be done. So they left a message yesterday, and I will get more information where and on the company. That the salesman I happened to meet once, I was renting a tux about 2 months ago. He said, I found a place on the East Coast because I was joking with him how many are made here. And he said, no, this place can do it, and I will get you the name.
Well, we do have, like in Philadelphia, you have like Ernesto's and places like that. They are the kind of places you go in, you get fitted, and you get the suit. But why can't we mass produce, like going into Men's Warehouse or any of these places? Why can't we have suits made here once again?
And they are, this Men's Warehouse, they're going to carry this as a regular line. It'll be offered to people, you know, custom and standard that just have to be tailored. So that's very interesting. And, you know, like you said, there should be way more. It's that hard to find one. But it's movement, though, in the right direction.
You know, Mark, we have in Philadelphia during Labor Day a concert coming up. It's called Made in the USA Concert, Made in America Concert. It's all music. And what they're saying is it's made in the USA, made in America music. I'd like to put a concert together, all made in America products.
Absolutely. You know, with Ricky Lee, we always did the, you know, going across, and I know Rich and, you know, Henry with the musical background too, but Rick would go, music's just such a great tool. And like you said, if we could tie all the products together, we always did. Rick will do singing. I'll do a speech. We'll have our Made in America little trailer with the products and offer and throw the whole mission and movement together. But, no, it's just nice to see. I'd like to compliment our whole crew. I mean, the difference you've made, Mike, you do see it out there. It's slow, but you got to look for it. But, you know, the people are demanding it, and I hope the people realize the power they have by just demanding every time you go and ask. Hey, even at a Harley store, I was just at a Harley store lately on, you know, over Easter vacation there, and I just walked in. My wife and daughter were kind of looking somewhere else. But Harley is a, you know, a big American icon. But most of their clothing, 95%, are made overseas. Just amazes me. Why can't Harley make more here?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's the same thing with all of our sports teams. Everything is made overseas. All our people do here in America is imprint the names.
Right.
But if you look at the product, the label, it's made elsewhere. And, you know, as I say to people, they say, well, I can't find it in this store or that store. I say, well, then shop elsewhere. Look around, but make sure you let the staff at the store know you're looking for American made. And then if you don't find it, walk out the door and just say, I'm concerned. I hope that you'll be getting more American made stuff, because there are items on the market. It's up to the merchandisers to bring those market items into the stores, to put it on the list. Mark, when somebody comes to you, you have an item list of what they have to offer, right?
Correct.
Well, why don't those item lists have a little flag made in America to attract the eye of the people looking to purchase it in the stores? I'm saying the buyers.
And especially people always ask, well, what can I do? Like the movie people, you know, they said, well, what's your part? Do your part. And it was part of the what is your part movement. But that is your part. You just ask, hey, you know, make them aware that you want it. That's people doing their part to say, hey, where's your shirts that are made in America? You know, just
Mark,
ask them that question.
I want to tell you.
awareness.
Sorry, excuse me to interrupt. I just want to say, Mark, if you want me to sing, then you better pull out the Bacardi 151. And if any of our listeners don't know what that is, good.
We'll play that song after 1 o'clock.
It's almost 12, isn't it? Oh,
not in the morning.
You know what? It's almost
far,
that
you know?
Time.
12 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, you know, that 151 it is.
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Now, Mark, this thing.
Mark, you know, you got a good point. You know, guys, and Mark, particularly when you mention this, and I like this theme to remind people, right, who are the ones with the power. I think that the government, while they don't listen as well as they should or as fully as they should, it's not to say that they don't, but I think that people, I don't think, guys, an effective way to approach all of these important issues is pleading to the government. I think it's pleading to other people, other voters, other consumers. That's really the, you know, the government just does at all levels. They're like, you know, Steve, you pointed out, I mean, during the primary season and up to the elections, that we're doing the pro wrestling thing, and then when they're in office, we kind of do the pro wrestling thing. Except it can be funded with unlimited monies and funds, and we're pleading, I think, to the wrong groups. It's not that we still shouldn't be on top of elected officials, what they're doing. Well, not on top, but you know what I mean. Follow what they're doing, know what they're doing, where they're going, all of these things. But at the same token, we need to spend equal, if not more, time pleading to other people. And when you talk to other people, Mark, I bet you find that pretty much everyone agrees with what you're saying.
Or Rich, and I know that I'm probably going to get my head chopped off for this one, but if you want to do an unlimited cap on, you know, fundraising and everything else for a political candidate, then I think dollar for dollar, you know, if somebody donates $2, right, $1 goes to that campaign, the other dollar goes to the government. Because at the end of the day, we're in a deficit, and it's up to that person to bring the money in. And if they're spending that much money on their campaign, they can put money into the economy so our deficit is lowered.
Steve, to be continued. And, guys, next week we'll have Congressman Runyon on. I'm sure he's going to talk about these issues.
You know, maybe we can encourage him to be an ambassador for jobs. Now that he's leaving office, if he's looking for something to do, I'm sure he'd be welcome across the USA, because we certainly don't have anybody in elected office doing anything. So maybe someone who's leaving elected office would be a better ambassador than anybody could ever imagine. Gentlemen, thank you for being part of our broadcast today. Until next Wednesday at 11, or next Saturday, this coming Saturday at 11, when I'll be back, I want to wish all of you the very best. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you let others know that they can tune into our broadcast by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the left-hand side Listen Anytime link. Until we get together again, my best wishes to all of you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Larkin. Thank you, Rich. And thank you, Stephen and Henry, for being part of today's very special presentation.
Have a great weekend,
guys. Thank you, everyone.
Have a good week, guys.